Hey, what's good, everyone? This is Rich.
I'm Marcus.
And you're listening to the Paychecks and Balances podcast, where we chop it up about work and money for millennials with the hope we don't leave you saying, bruh, the puff was that?
And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PayBalances and on Facebook at Paycheck and Balances, all words.
So today we're going to take a break from the work and money talk and discuss something else that's super important. But first, we wanted to remind you that if you've been enjoying the show, drop by and hit us with the 5 stars in iTunes. If you don't know how, visit paychecksandbalances.com/review.
That'll help us stay visible in the rankings, which means we reach more people. And if we reach more people, we help more people.
And also the other thing that I forgot to mention, check out our Patreon page. You've heard us talk about it now. It's a great way to support the show on a recurring basis. We have a lot of things that we want to get to, but we need your support in order to get there. So to learn more about that, you can visit paychecksandbalances.com/patron. If you're a drinker, it's spelt like Patron. So again, paychecksandbalances.com/patron. So today we're joined by a friend, former track and field teammate, and a man that's helping people live healthy lives while juggling the 9 to 5, Kofi Ofori Ansa, also known as RS. Thanks for joining us, Kofi.
No problem, Rich. Thank you for having me on the show. Paychecks and Balances, definitely a key to our lives. So I appreciate the opportunity here, fellas.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, man. So tell the good people of PNB a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today.
Got you. So I'm from New York originally, as you can probably tell by my accent, but went to Cornell University, where I actually met Rich running track and field. We were both jumpers at the time. And I've been a young kid, always interested in sports and fitness. And so that passion is translated and carried with me throughout the course of my life. At the age of 22, you know, after graduating college, flirting with track and field, I found myself still within the sports realm, playing semi-pro soccer, flirting with semi-pro football in Connecticut while working at ESPN. And at the time, you know, there was a aspect of myself that kind of was sequestered in the capacity that I was working this 9 to 5, but I always found myself to be that guy which people leaned on for health and fitness advice. And as I got older, as I got wiser, I started to realize that the more successful people that I saw around me in the corporate or, you know, business structure world were those that actually maintained that healthy balance of mental, physical health. And so over the years, I started to do more digging and more research as to how to truly turn your body and your mind into an optimal functioning machine. And so with that said, that's been my passion over the course of the past 6-7 years, really taking this concept of mind-body wellness and helping infuse it into the lives of people who are struggling with managing their day-to-day jobs as well as their own personal wellness. So
Yeah. So, you know, as long as I've known you, you've always been someone that's like been in good shape, but it seems like during that stretch, you've now gone into super brolic mode, you know, and of course you're probably an avid consumer of stuff that most people think wouldn't taste good. And so this is something that you've been thinking about for a while, but was there a moment where you kind of decided like, yo, I want to make this the main focus of what I'm doing right now? You know, this is the greatest opportunity for me to be able to help people and also keep my own life in check.
Yeah, I think at the age of around 27, you know, I kind of looked at my life and there were some solid and viable accomplishments that stood well with me within that time period of leaving college. However, there's a sense of unfulfillment that kind of lingered as far as dedication to a passion that I really cared about. And so Ben Franklin has that quote, which is, and pardon me for mucking it up, the greatest treason a man can commit is treason to his soul. And that quote always stuck with me and was, you know, flirting around in my subconscious for a while, but it took some years before I really kind of looked at myself in the mirror and said, you know, if on some Eminem shit, you know, if I had one shot, one chance, one moment, you know, what am I really going to do in my life? What am I really going to put forth to the people? And so health and fitness just kept on coming back in a repeating paradigm. You know, I would go do something else. And people be like, yo, bro, like, you should do this. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. Actually, I'm pretty nice at that. Somebody come like, yo, can you help me get my biceps up? Or I want to get abs. And I'm like, yo, eat this, do this, blah, blah, blah. So there was a constant reminder that the universe kind of kept on putting in my face. And it got to a point where I was, you know, I had the time and free time. I left my current corporate job. I was flirting with another startup venture. And I said to myself, you know, this is a perfect time to kind of launch this endeavor and put my energy behind a passion in a industry that I really care about, per se. And so that's kind of led to the creation of our fitness brand, SOTBG, which stands for Surrender or Triumph Body Group at this point. And so we're about a year and a half in, officially launched. However, the conglomerate as a whole, we've been operating, you know, for the latter part of, I would say, 4 to 5 years.
Dope.
So how have you seen either the support or conflict at the company or the corporate jobs? Because I know some have a number of wellness programs. Mine currently does not, but they're trying to roll it out. So some, you know, they have a really open culture where we're at wellness programs, gyms that they support, discounts. Others are like, hey, you're on your own. So what have you seen there?
Right. I mean, the wellness programs at corporate facilities are, they're there and they're effective if you can find the time to incorporate it in your logistical schedule, you know? And so if you got kids, you know, you got extracurriculars outside of your work that take precedent, you know, you're the president of this organization, you're the chairman of this. Working out really only fits in either during your lunchtime or if you got like that extra hour after work to kind of slip it in. And with pause. That regard, right, I forgot where we was at. Yeah, pause on that. And so with that said, you have a lot of people that look at the wellness programs, training opportunities that are provided by corporate entities, and they're kind of just menial. They give you a little taste of what you should be doing, but they don't really tap into the meaningful changes that need to occur on a mental and I would say emotional plane before you can actually see the changes manifest physically. And there's a reason to that, partly because corporations don't want you to realize that part of the setup is to actually keep you unhealthy or keep you in this lower state of slavery, per se, so that you don't really do the things that make you truly happy. Because once you do that, then you realize, oh, maybe I don't need to be working as much. Maybe I don't need to be so concerned about this promotion. Maybe I don't need to be, you know, traveling 40 hours a week, X, Y, and Z to, you know, be at these conferences and whatnot. So there's a different paradigm that wellness and health kind of exposes individuals to. And in my opinion, a lot of the corporate wellness programs that I've seen over the course of the past 4 or 5 years really don't do justice to the journey which people need to embark on.
You know, it's funny you say that because it came up this week and I was, you know, talking to my dad, who I guess would fall into old school. Not sure how he would describe himself.
Right.
But
right.
He said he heard like a 5-minute blurb from like a millennial, and they were talking to, they asked this, I think this younger guy, you know, about his expectations or thoughts on Wall Street. And he goes, you know, as a millennial, I'm not going to apologize that I don't want to have a house that I can't afford, driving in a car that I can't maintain, with a lifestyle I don't like, with kids that I moderately care for. And so like,
it's like they're
upset with, we don't fit into this mold, but that's because the mold doesn't make sense. He goes, y'all just don't know how to market to us. And so it's interesting how that's all come together. I wonder where this is all going, I guess is what I'm getting at there.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And when I look at my experience in corporate America and I look at the people that were around me, it was very obvious and evident to me at an early age that, look, I don't want to be like these motherfuckers. Like, I don't want to be 37, 40 with the bad mortgage, the wife that might be cheating on me because I look sloppy. I got lower back pain, hernia, all types of, you know, debilitating issues, and just a mental chain or a mental connection to things which don't really inspire us as this newer generation. So that's absolutely right, that people who are, you know, born in the 90s, the 80s, even the 2000s, like, they're like, fuck this shit. Nah, I'm not with the picket fence and the 2.5 kids. That's some bullshit. Like, I got to do something else. I got to be swaggy and lit in a different capacity. And so there's going to be a paradigm shift, I really believe, over the next 15 to 20 years, where industry and business no longer fits that corporate suck you in mode. Everybody's going to be hustling. Like, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's funny because when I'm in this management capacity now, which is weird, and Rich is joining me on the dark side soon, I keep telling him, he's trying to avoid it. But for me, I read all these articles, you know, for the show and maybe for personal interest. For me, managing millennials isn't that difficult. I'm honest with them. Even if I'm not going to give them what they want, I'll tell them the truth. And here's why you're not going to get what you want. And then also owning it sometimes, like, it's almost like a crazy idea that you should like your job and not be miserable for the 40 hours that you're going to be occupying that workspace. I just try to make it as least miserable as possible, because it is a job. Like, it's not a hobby. It's not always fun. It's not exciting every day. But it hasn't been like these, you know, oh, what are these millennials doing? Like, it's the end of the world. We don't know. It's like, it's really not that serious. And for people who might be curious, like, okay, well, how do I tell? How do I tell if I'm right in the right industry? Because we got listeners ranging from, you know, 24, 22, just out of college, maybe some in college. I tell folks, and I even tell them younger now. I mean, I didn't do this till I was probably in my 30s, but someone told me, look two positions above you. And if you're not excited to either be in those positions, or those people don't look happy.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Hey, Titanic, you know.
Yeah, man. And the financial incentive at this point in time, given the economy of the past 15, 20 years, is like, why even bother? Like, or if I'm not really built for this, if I don't want to be senior director, you know, junior VP or whatever, what's in it for me outside of the title? Longer hours is six figures, you know, buck 50, six figures, you know, that's, is that money really stretching like it used to back in the '80s and the '70s? And so that paradigm or approach that our parents may have followed back in the day, which was like, you could pimp the game. You could come up really just by working hard, keeping your head down and locking in. But now you do that 20 years, like, you know, you might not even get your pension, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and you're going to be slaving away for something that may or may not bring satisfaction to your higher self, and those around you as well too. That's the other caveat, that what are you doing, or what is it that you're currently doing that's benefiting those around you from a larger capacity? So
yeah, to put some numbers on that, I literally tweeted this during the show because it was so crazy, so y'all know I'm going to revisit it. If you have a $60,000 raise and you get a 3%, or excuse me, you have a $60,000 salary, you get a 3% raise, that's $24 after taxes per week.
Right, bro. That's
extra large pizza.
Yeah, bro. Extra large pizza. Maybe you ain't getting no toppings.
So I guess I'm trying to tell the people, like, don't feel guilty, because I did for a number of years. I probably wasted more years than I needed to, feeling guilty about occupying the mold when I should have just ejected earlier and pursued things that just truly made me happy while also being at work. Don't feel guilty about that, folks. Find your purpose.
Exactly.
And, you know, it also gets into the loyalty side of it too, though, because you get people, I mean, there are some people who have no issue bouncing from their company after 1-2 years. And, you know, of course, companies expect people to be loyal, but when layoffs happen, suddenly that loyalty goes out the window. And, you know, it's a point for me right now personally where I'm starting to get into more of the managerial side of things. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, I'm going to have a team and there's going to be people dependent on me. And I'm trying to not let that get in the way of the goals that I've set for myself over the next 2, 3, 5 years. It's like, yeah, you know, this is what I'm doing today. And I had that inflection point where I was like, yo, there are things that I could be doing in the world and for people that'll bring me much more satisfaction on a day-to-day basis than what I may be experiencing as this moment. And as I have to say, whenever I talk about work, I love my job, you know, because, you know, work people be listening to the podcast. But I had to sit and think, like, you know, yes, there's always going to be people here who are dependent on me, but I need to do what's best for me first. And I'm at that point, and sometimes it takes a while. It's like you mentioned earlier, you have people that keep coming back to you about the health and fitness side of things. And I've had people who've done the same thing about podcasting. They come to me for career advice. And, yo, it's dope when someone comes to you for something and you help them and then you actually see the results. So, like, with you working with people directly, you actually see their physical transformation. So talk a little bit about how rewarding that's been for you.
Oh, it's it's awesome. And not to just be cliche and be like, you're so awesome, bro. But nah, it's literally awesome in the fact that it inspires me to find new and innovative ways to work on myself and then see how those techniques translate to others. And there's nothing more interesting, in my opinion, than learning how human beings work and operate, because we're the most complex piece of machinery on the planet. And so, you know, seeing somebody lose some weight, get a little toned up, or, you know, get a little swole, that's dope. But when you see somebody's mind flip and you see the way that they interact with their friends and their family, you see them get a better knowledge of self, and their confidence or their calmness, anxiety starts to change. That's very interesting. And then you put the mirror back in front of your face and you say, wow, all right, so these are the things that work for me. Now let me see if I can help other people incorporate that into their daily lives. And then you tweak it and then you go back and forth. So it's a little bit of a mad scientist game. But I love seeing the fact that once that first light clicks in somebody's head and then they run with it, it's like, boom, you just handed the ball off to Adrian Peterson and they off. So
now, do you think that that light going off? So is it more about the confidence? Because, you know, so someone may, their attitude may change after they started working out. And part of that may be because they look in the mirror and they're happy with what they're looking at, whereas maybe they didn't feel that way before. So do you think it's mainly the confidence that's increasing, or is it the energy that's increasing? It's probably a combination of things, but I'll let you tell me.
It's a combination of I would say confidence is definitely a byproduct, but the main deficiency that I identify with most of my clients and just people in general is that there's a lack of knowledge of self. And so when you don't understand what your own problems are, then you can't fix them. And so some people just literally, they have terrible squat form and they're like, why is my ass still not flat? And I'm like, shorty, you know, like, you're not going deep enough, or your knees are coming in front of your heels as you're squatting. Simple things like that. Other people are just not eating enough food. But then there's people who are literally don't have the comfortability to just step in the gym, or they feel that they don't see the benefit from a physiological standpoint of working out. They think it's self-centered. They think it's about egotism, or, you know, they look at themselves as, that's not me, I can't do that. But I had one client in particular, I'm not going to expose her name, but first few sessions of her program, she was very, you know, apprehensive to be on social media. And, you know, at one point I posted a picture of her up and she was like looking through the comments and she was like, I don't want to be up there. And that's like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like objectified or whatnot. But then as she started to get comfortable with her body and started to see the benefits and feel the vigor from the transformation that was occurring, she started to get a little bit more comfortable with the social media presence and just being exposed. So now she comes to work out, she's hyped, you know, wears the cute outfits. And not to say that that's all it's about, but you can see that that confidence translates into somebody's mental, where a month ago they did not want to be on social media. And, you know, now they have a different approach or perspective on it as to, oh, I'm showing the world my passion, or I'm helping other people in my family get fit now, so I have to show them what I'm doing. So it's a personality shift that occurs too. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, you know, the lifestyle thing is legit. It's the true meaning of transforming yourself. You're going to incorporate a whole new approach to how you go about your daily life. So it's a lifestyle that, once you adopt, changes start to take place, not only on the physical, but on the mental.
Yeah. That definitely resonates. I know, you know, personally, when I moved out to California, I probably the one thing I love about being out here is how much easier it is to be healthy out here versus in New York City. So you know how it is in New York. There's the bodegas with the cheesesteak sandwiches everywhere.
Chopped cheese, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Every hour.
All that bullshit.
there's, you know, all of this fast food, and then just getting outside and running on the street. One, it's very difficult to do that year round because there's snow. But then on top of that, some people don't like running out around the neighborhood on concrete. I'm personally someone that either I enjoy running on the track or I enjoy running at the gym. I'm not someone to just go walk outside my apartment building and start like running around trash bags and rats. Like, that's just not my thing. So the other thing that I did want to talk to you a little bit about, is this idea of building habits. So, you know, of course there was a point where you started to get more serious about the health and fitness side of things. And you started building these habits, you know, whether it's going to the gym daily or eating right. So can you talk a little bit about how you started building those habits and what the biggest challenge was for you up front as you were starting to put these habits in place?
Got you. I mean, I think for everyone, the hardest part about developing new habits is obviously erasing the old ones. And a lot of those old habits stem from practices that we had from our childhood, kind of misconceptions about things that might be beneficial that we still kind of push forward with at this point of our lives. And so the hardest part for me initially was trying to find the benefit in the actual introduction of the challenge, of the habit. And so for instance, there was a point in my life where I was looking to actually gain more muscle. And what I needed to do in order to do that was eat and eat more. And at the time I was on a vegetarian diet, and I was very conscious of the amount of food that I did eat. However, it got to a point where I had to constantly increase my caloric intake on a weekly basis. And it was almost uncomfortable. I started to feel like, yo, I'm being gluttonous, I'm eating too much or whatever. But then once you come to terms with the benefit of the new habit that you're introducing, then you start to realize like, yo, this is the shit. Like, I need to be doing this. And the habit, in my opinion, sticks once the results manifest. I've never seen anybody just adopt a habit and be like, oh yeah, this is dope. Like, I'll keep putting myself through mental torture and pain for fun. Like, nah, you want something that's going to come through once you stick with it for about, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, a month, 2 months or whatever. Then you see that result. There's that dopamine release. You know, you're like, oh, all right, boom. Then you get the validation that all the work that you've put in, there's a benefit to it. So now I'm at the point in my life, and I've always been like this, but people ask me, how do you get up at 6 a.m. to go to the gym and then go train people, you know, from 12 to like 6 or whatever, and then come back and do another session. I'm like, yo, if I don't work out on my own, I get depressed. Literally, I get depressed. And so once I've experienced that kind of lifestyle, I'm like, I don't want to go back to that. That's whack. Like, that's, you know, I've been in a point where I couldn't work out, and that was some depressing shit in my life. You know what I mean? So once I remember that and see the habitual benefit of the habit, then it's all best off. You know, you stick with it and you don't make any real excuses for it. Mm.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about kind of the health and fitness things for the listeners. So.
Right.
You know,
right.
Of course, there's this habit building aspect, and you dropped a lot of knowledge there. But we also have these listeners who have day jobs. They've got bosses who are breathing down their necks. They've got family. They've got kids. They have all of these other things that are going on. And usually one of the first things to fall off is their progress against their health and fitness goals, assuming they've even set any in the first place. So can you talk a little bit about the challenges that, you know, you faced in kind of the quest to remain physically elite? And then also, you know, anything that you may see that typically comes up with your clients who are trying to balance all of these different things that are going on?
Right. On a personal level for me, the biggest challenge was I'll keep it live, just staying out of the shit, you know. I'm a fun dude. People that know me tell you that, you know, Kof's a joker, RS is always down for some shenanigans, and that's a fact. But trying to balance or keep a check on that lifestyle has been the hardest part of my health and fitness journey, just because as much fun as I love having, you know, working out, being fit, throwing up some weight, I also love kicking it with the fellas, going out, laughing, having a good time. So personally for me, that was an area that I had to struggle with early on in my my adult life. Now, for people that I see now, the problem more so that strikes the general population is diet. And so people look at food, you know, and we've been programmed to this, so to kind of remove some of the personal blame. But people look at food as something which is a commodity to be enjoyed. The rest of the world has that mentality reversed. So out here, you know, we kind of live to eat. Everywhere else, people are just like, yeah, I'm trying to eat to live. Like, God damn it, let me get a pound of basmati rice for the month and I'm good. When clients come to me within the first month or two of their program, they typically always struggle more so with the diet aspect. And the struggle tends to focus on the fact that they can't let go of former habits or former pathologies that may be leading them to eating poorly. So people complain that they're tired. You know, they're at work. They don't have time to get the food. They brought free pizza to the board meeting. So I had to eat it, you know, whatever the case may be. But if you don't understand in that immediate, if you don't understand in that immediate point that you're essentially faced with two options, and this is part of our mantra here at SOTBG, that within any health or fitness related endeavor, at every juncture of your journey, you're essentially faced with two options. You can surrender to your adversity or you can triumph. And so when that piece is in front of you, you have a choice. Metacognition is taking place. And so when you can think about the decisions that you're making and look at that as a opportunity to make your lifestyle throughout the day congruent with the lifestyle that you want for the year, then you relinquish some of the powerlessness that you might have had before. And struggling with decisions is always the hardest part that I see people have when they come to the table first. And so if you're looking at the food and there's a spinach salad on a menu, and then you're like, I could get the spinach kale salad, or I could get the, you know, truffle butter fries. it's, you got to make that decision, and the decision is all yours. You know, on some Captain Planet shit, the power is yours. And so if you're not able to hone in on the fact that every choice boils down to your willpower, then you're going to struggle with the journey. So I feel as if decision making and choice selection, that's ubiquitous across all levels. Whether, you know, somebody doesn't want to go do cardio, somebody doesn't want to go eat some some peanut butter before they go to sleep, somebody doesn't want to cut out the fat out of their diet, whatever the case may be, it's choice selection. So
yo, stop reading me for filth, bro.
So I did have one, I guess it's one question, one comment. So another guest that we had on the show kind of had a life hack that she shared with us as far as reading books, and she got us down to 10 pages a day and we couldn't come up with any excuses. So do you have any kind of like workout life hack that is such a minimal amount of effort, it's hard for folks to even come up with an excuse for it? I talked to, actually I heard this third party, but a personal trainer that my friend was using said that no matter what, hit 100 pushups a day. And he didn't care how you get up there, 25, 10 times 10, whatever, but just do 100 pushups a day. And he said, in addition to, you should go to the gym, but that removes that excuse of, oh, I'm at work, oh, I'm at home, oh, I don't have time. Like, he's like, you're making an excuse to knock that out. You do it in the morning, you can do it in the evening, you can do it on your lunch break, you can do it on your 15-minute break. So do you have any kind of like hashtag life hacks that you share with the people that you
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, one of them, shouts to my man, Kofi Jenfi, out here. I see you lying. One of the many life hacks that we employ is take the stairs. Regardless of whatever your situation is, you know, take the stairs. If you could do that and challenge yourself to take the stairs for 2-3 weeks, you may not need to go to the gym. You might lose 5-10 pounds on your own and be like, damn, I've been bullshit. I could have. Fuck a gym membership. You feel me? This, and that's a fact, man. It's just these little things that we need to tweak in our day to day lives, which we kind of overlook or we neglect because we feel as if they're like, you know, too menial or too trivial. And we need that big home run to enact change. But nah, man, something else. When you, if you're taking a train, say you live in a metropolitan area, Don't sit on the train. Stand. See how long you can stand.
I never, never thought about that.
Yeah,
you had mentioned. I've seen some people like this. There's a couple memes around this, but they're on the metabolism plan, and then the metabolism stops. Usually work pretty well through high school. You see any changes, or what do people need to do differently as either metabolism goes away, goes on retirement, probably not coming back, tears its ACL or whatever it's doing. From the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, like what would you think? Okay. You need to do this in your 20s and then be prepared to make this change in your 30s and then step this up in your 40s, et cetera, et cetera. Or maybe 35 years.
Right. As far as metabolism and trying to, combat that that battle, the best recommendation I can make for that is to really have a better understanding of how well your body responds to, dietary and exercise changes over a course of a time. So let's say a 2 to 3 month period to be standard, right? I've gotten to a point where I've essentially perfected or come to like an insane level of obsession where I weigh myself in the morning. I weigh myself first thing when I get home, and I weigh myself before I go to sleep just to see where my weight fluctuates on a day-to-day basis. And based off of the foods that I eat, I have almost like an exact understanding of how my body will respond from the changes that I'm making over the months, the years, et cetera. So now as I age, I can say, okay, well, maybe I can't have that extra side of fries because when I was 25, I could get away with it. But I know that my weight is fluctuating a point or two over the next 2 weeks. So now it's like, all right, well, I'm 31 now, so I can't have that extra side of fries based off of the fact that I'm measuring these specific aspects of myself, of my weight, my cardio speed, how much I'm bench pressing. So when you look at yourself as a machine that's operating in like total efficiency, then you got to make those changes like you make or like you mind the key and start tweaking the body on a specific level. So I think something like metabolism, you're going to have to find out what works for you because everybody's going to try to sell you some bullshit pill or sell you some nonsense.
Tummy tea.
And then tummy tea or tell you something crazy. And it's like, yo, nah, bro, you have shitty genes. Like, you're not going to, your metabolism is going to stop and take a long ass break once you get to 35. Sorry. I mean, and that's the fact of the matter. But you need to know that. You need to realize that. You can't go and look at the Instagram model and then feel as if, oh, well, he's doing this. He's talking about bulk season, so I got to bulk up too. Nah, homie, it's not going to work for you in the same capacity. You have to know yourself and know what works specifically. So when you adopt that mentality, things like metabolism, things like, energy levels, things like physical pain, those things tend to kind of get you get a larger or a stronger grasp on them, per se. How many people do you know that actually look and are particular about the way they walk on a daily basis? I see so many people walking through the street and they just no concept or no understanding of gait, of proper walking form. Their head is down, just little things like that. Once you start to understand this and implement the change to correct it, you go a mile. Right. So
this reminded me, I actually traumatized myself. So actually, I'm going to tell the study that the people care about. Then I'm going to tell a personal story. So I actually read, maybe you can expand on this a little bit. They did a study recently. I should have researched this. It's my fault. But it was something like people lost weight simply by not eating at 8:30. Like the only thing they said was don't eat after 8:30 p.m.
Right.
And that was literally the only thing they asked people to change. And people lost weight just because, you're so inactive, your body's slowing down, your arrhythmic schedule and everything like that. A bunch of other fancy science things. But I was like, man, that's something that's so ridiculously simple. And I'm bad about that. And I think a lot of people are. Back, especially when I was working the 9-hour schedule, and then I'm at the gym for an hour. I get home, it's maybe 8. I'm cooking, so on a good day, I'm eating before 9.
Right, right.
And so I definitely think that's something that people could do. And basically, all I did was I just pre-made either the meal before or I made it the next day. And I know a lot of the pre-planned meal schedules are out there available to people. But I'm just trying to emphasize to folks, like, you don't have to do some grandiose change, night and day, 180 degrees. Really not that serious to really see big gains. Well,
yeah.
I guess in this case you're trying to lose gains, but I think
right.
You're getting that.
No, and then,
The story was I actually still do, you know, I think we all do shoot the dozen, so people know I'm pretty, but I throw shade about as evenly as the sun. I feel like that's how I get away with it. And I was clowning on somebody across the way. Their arms wasn't swinging. Like, they were just walking straight on, right? And I was like,
wait,
look
what?
At that. Ha, ha, ha. Yo, the brother's arms wasn't swinging. Like, it was just, he was just going. And, like, I started thinking about that. And I became self-conscious about my own arms for, I promise you, like a year. I was like, because I was like, yo, I ain't never really paid attention to how my arms swing.
That's crazy.
I reverse psychology messed myself up. Like, this is really something I would think about. Like, I'd be walking, I'm like, wait a minute, are they wait, was my gait off? Like, or was my arms with my leg? Like, what are people thinking? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just gonna sit there. I'm gonna lean on this pole real quick.
Nah, that's true, man. That's true. Real little specifics like that are key to taking control of your body and yourself, you know. Now obviously you want to have a moderate approach or a balanced approach to these kind of things. You don't want to be, you know, in the boardroom, walking through, and you can't remember what you were supposed to be talking about. You was walking about, you was focused on your gait. You know what I mean?
Get your steps in.
Right, man. You telling your kid, you know, I'm a make some food for you later. I got to hit these push-ups. Like, you got to, you can't neglect your life like that, you know. And I know some people that push the boundaries on that. So, you know, all things in moderation. But that's definitely a key point, man. I have one client who, they were like, yo, bro, Cove, I cannot to the day find time to work out, but I need to lose weight. I need something to kind of change my life right now. I feel scared. You know, I'm entering my 30s. I got knee pain. I got back pain. What can I do? And I provided them with a small transformation plan with meaningful changes, small meaningful changes that could be incorporated, you know, at a reasonable and logistically efficient level. And they lost 20 pounds within 2 months, not going to the gym. Little things like, all right, you work on 96, you take the train to 96th Street, but you live on, let's say, 110th Street. So you're going to walk to 96th Street every morning. And at first they were like, come on, son, are you serious? I'm like, nah, if you want to do it, let's do it. Stuck with it. 2 weeks later, they're like, yo, I've never felt this great in my life. And I'm like, yo, it's the little things like that that actually change the way you move and you maneuver, you know? They were drinking grape soda, the cliche, you know, the proverbial grape soda and fried chicken and shit. And I was like, nah, cut that out. We're not doing that no more. I only want you drinking water. And they were like, water, bro, that's so bland. Like, whatever, you know. But I mean, I don't have to tell you about that. Water versus grape soda is a obvious comparison.
Well,
so,
well, I mean, honestly, and I know Rich has a comment here, but honestly, I was shocked and appalled the difference that it made when I gave up soda. So I used to, and I talked about this before, I used to drink a soda because it was free. There was a Subway downstairs. They had free refills. So, of course, everybody in the building ran the gimmick. We ordered the large cup. And we just go down there and get refills for the 365 days. I probably owe Subway like $9,000 or something like that. But the point being, you know, I'm starting to get, you know, my face getting chubby. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm like, who is this man? You know, and I was like, I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, man, I'm not doing that. I'm eating right. And I was like, and it was just one day I was like, man, I'm drinking 2 gallons of Coke every morning. I cut that out. Like, I shed the weight. Like, it just fell off. Like, I didn't make any other change. I just cut sodas out. It fell off so easily. It was insane.
It's a huge. You make meaningful small changes, and then that's how you build the big mansion, the big empire off the small blocks. So you're absolutely right on that, man.
Yo, I have never thought about my gait before. I've never really thought about my arm swinging, though I have seen someone doing that. Like, you know, they're like, if you're like me, you probably hate grocery shopping. And if you're like me, you probably hate figuring out dinner every night. And that's where HelloFresh comes into play. So HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novice chefs like myself to seasoned home cooks. And one of the best things about this is if you're cooking just for yourself, each meal could last you 2 days. I discovered that when I was making this sizzling beef stir fry last week. I promise you, it really was sizzling. And if you're wondering how the food gets delivered, it arrives at your doorstep in a special insulated box for free. So for $35 off your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks. Again, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks when you subscribe. Check it out. Legs are moving quickly and their arms aren't moving at all. And I have thought that that's kind of weird. I'm like, how are you? Like, are you intentionally doing that? Or is that just the way you walk? And apparently,
I know for a fact somebody going to be paranoid about their walk after this show because I messed myself up. Like, so I apologize, but I don't. Sorry, not sorry. Like, you know, misery loves company.
And if you are paranoid, if you do feel self-conscious about it, definitely reach out to www.sotbglife.com or info@sotbglife.com. We can provide you with the proper information to make sure that your gait doesn't look goofy, incorrect, and or pain-causing.
So we'll definitely revisit that on the back end of the show. I'm probably going to check some things myself when I walk out this room. One thing I do pay attention to, I do try to make sure that like I'm keeping my head up and that my shoulders are like even or square or whatever it is. Cause yes. I do see a lot of people, they're like slumped, they're kind of like slouched forward. And so I try to walk that balance of like walking straight up, but not walking like I'm like trying to stick my chest out. Like my chest are just out cause I'm walking properly. You know what I'm saying?
Right. There's a, I do an assessment with all my preliminary clients at first to kind of get a better understanding of their muscular imbalances, you know, their gait deficiencies and whatnot. And the main point that I drive home with them is that we live in the computer age, the slouch age, where we're in front of the cell phone, we're in front of the computer, you know, we're bent over, it's Netflix and chill, so everybody's slumped on the couch. But when you look at the way people walk these days, it's like, whether you want to talk about people sagging their jeans or just people, you know, feeling comfortable, a little tired or whatnot, everybody's slumped. Their shoulders are low. When you actually walk correct, people look at you like you're bugging, like you got a stick up your ass. And people come to me and say, like, yo, why you walk with your chest out or why you walk like you got something to say? And I'm like, nah, brother, I'm just walking with correct posture. Like you think about how people maybe in Harlem Renaissance or, you know, medieval times or whatnot, you know, everybody's walking around chip, chip, cheerio, like they up, their chest is out, you know what I'm saying? Dead ass. And you know what I mean? Nicky Barnes wasn't slumped over walking around in Harlem. Like, you know, it's a whole different vibe these days. And so we accept bad posture and, you know, slumped shoulders as a norm. And so when you actually correct that, people look at you as, you know, like, you're doing something excessive or you're trying to, you know, stand out or whatnot. But you never seen a king or a prince slouched. You know what I'm saying? They always upright. And so if you're going to be the best version of yourself that you're destined to be or that you have the birthright to be, then you need to embrace these types of changes. So, yeah, that's a huge thing, man.
Definitely. Definitely, man. So you sent me this transformation plan. I have not made as much progress with this transformation plan as I would like, okay. but I have made some progress with it. So the eating healthy part, I feel like I have a good grasp on that. So you talk about, you know, smoothies in the morning, adding green vegetables in there, that part, adding, I think I'm using flax seed or chia seed, ground chia seeds. Like, so that part, great. Getting out there, getting sun on my neck and on my face, 15 minutes. I have to be a little bit more conscious about that, but that part, boom. The Tibetan exercises, have done those a few times. Other mornings, I feel like I'm too rushed because it takes a little bit more time than I expected. And related to that, the thing that I've really struggled with the most, and you kind of talked about how to get around this, but still, is getting to the actual gym. I just feel like I don't have any time. And part of that is because, you know, I'm thinking about my day job. I'm thinking about the side hustle things I'm doing outside of work. And there are times where it just feels like, yo, it's too much. So what advice do you have for someone who's kind of making progress, but they want to take it to the next level? So in my case, I do want to get back into going to the gym more regularly, but just feels like there's just not enough time in the day, despite the fact I feel like I'm already managing my time pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tough one, man. And people who are older, people who have kids, who have logistical demands that they have to meet, you're not just going to tell them, no, man, you know, if you really want it, you got to work hard for it. And like, nah, that's not going to fly. People are going to look at you and want to kick you in the ass. For someone who is struggling with that type of change, it really boils down to defining the aspects of their life that they attach the most value to. And people rarely kind of look at their life and chart it out in, you know, Venn diagrams and spaces and all that. But if you really take somebody, you sit them down and you say, write the five most important things in your life right now. They might write their, you know, their family, their wife, kids. You know, somebody might be like, oh, you know, my 92 Corolla, whatever the hell it is. Maybe some other material things and some experiences or friends that they might have. You'll often see that people don't include their health or their general well-being in the top two. And so when you flip the question and you say, now, what do you think are the most important things that you're going to wish you had given attention to when you're 40, 50 years older? Then the light switch hits and people are like, damn, well, now that you're thinking about it, my 50, 40 year old self is probably going to be like, damn, I wish I had been a little bit more better or a little bit more diligent on how I take care of my health. I wish I had actually, you know, worked for that six pack and that body that I knew I had the capability to attain. And so when we stick ourselves in this present paradigm of this is what I have to do now, this is what I have to do today. When you talk to your future self has all the answers and your future self knows like, yo, this is what we're supposed to be doing. You have that conversation with your future self time and time again. You start to gain the courage to say, nah, like the shit that I'm doing in this immediate time period is it looks like it's cool, but I know that it's not going to last and it's not going to bring true merit to my life on a long-term scale. And so when you're able to really put forth a detailed and structured picture of how you like your life or how would you prefer your life to look like in 20, 30, 40 years, then you have to start to make real concessions and you start to rearrange things. So maybe it comes to a point where like you're like, yo, I can't work this job no more, you know, or babe, we got to move somewhere with the sun. Like I can't be in the cold for 4 months and expect myself to kind of work out, you know, or maybe you say, yo, I'm putting up money for the home gym, you know, whatever the case may be. But that impetus only comes when your subconscious mind understands the importance of what you need to do. And so it's a struggle, but again, it boils down to knowledge of self and knowledge of what actually makes us happy or fulfilled as human beings.
Yeah. It's definitely challenging, man. And when you said that, what would my 40 or 50 year old self, damn, man, I'm not too far away. I'm like less than 6 years away from 40. That's kind of,
right, bro.
Life comes at you fast, bro.
Faster than mom. Yes, sir.
Life comes at you fast. But when you put it in that context, like immediately the first thing that I thought about, and even when I look back at my latter 20s in some aspects, and even the last few years, I already find myself having the, you know, I probably wish I'd done more from an athletic or physical perspective to get my life in order. And I've been able to do it in spurts, you know, I think since I moved to the Bay Area, and I was starting to say this earlier, since I've moved to the Bay Area, I think I've lost like 40 pounds in the 2 years and change that I've been out here. And, you know, I haven't been perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I've been able to do things for periods of time. And then, of course, you know, I'll fall off for a bit because life gets hectic. But, you know, it's thinking about if I can really stay consistent with this and I can keep prioritizing this so that it becomes more of that habit that doesn't fall off after a few months' time, how much of a better place will I be in a few years? Because I know what I feel like today.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, and it's not awful. You know, I'm not walking around with a cane or anything like that, but I feel like in some ways I'm paying the price for actions I didn't take even 2 or 3 years ago, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah. The time aspect is paramount. We can't get that back. That's our most precious commodity. And you can't escape the effects of Father Time. So all you can do is work within the paradigm that exists for us right now. And that's to make manageable and meaningful changes to the aspects of your life so that you go into the direction in which you hope to be in X amount of years. And outside of that, you'll never find another solution or another way of bringing happiness or fulfillment to a part of your life in which you think that something is lacking. It's pretty simple, you know?
Definitely, man. So one other thing that we wanted to talk about. So there's a lot of myths and everything that are out there. And of course, we're also getting into that time of the year where people start thinking about New Year's resolutions, but we'll come back to that in a second. So, you know, we hear a lot about what does and doesn't work for men and women, and more specifically when it comes to fitness. So what are some of the most common myths that you've heard from both the sexes and beyond? Because, you know, it is 2016. And so, you know, for example, we've heard things about like, oh, you know, if a woman's talking about doing bench press, she's like, I don't want to make my chest flat, or, you know, or oh, men just naturally have faster metabolism, so it's okay for them to eat a certain way because they're just going to burn it off quicker. But what are some of those myths that you've heard?
From the female's or woman's perspective, you know, I would say that there's still a lingering stigma that the weights and certain activities regarding strength training are going to kind of make you into a more manly version of yourself, or, you know, you're going to look more brolic than you would like to. And that's, we could just look at Olympians and, you know, certain professional athletes, you know, to dismiss that fallacy there. Some of the best looking women that I've seen in my life were women that squatted, cleaned, deadlifted. Shout out to the CU track team. You know, they look beautiful doing that. And when you look at something like the bench press or shoulder press, there's a limit to that, right? Because I'm not going to lie and tell you that, no, like if you work out your chest is going to get smaller as a woman. That's just a natural fact of physiology. However, you can also maintain your breast suppleness by actually working out your chest. And a lot of women don't realize that. And then as time goes by, they neglect their chest and then titties get saggy. You know, then we got to go see Dr. Zizmore and all that. And so it becomes a whole different ball game. For the fellas, a lot of dudes think, well, nah, the yoga shit is not for me. I don't want to be doing Pilates or like, you know, some of the group classes. There's a lot of women in there. I'm not trying to be in there like that. But look, man, if you can't touch your toes, As a person in their 20s or 30s, you shouldn't be complaining about the gender makeup of anybody in whatever class you're taking. That's the way I look at it. And so a lot of dudes struggle with flexibility, posture, general agility. They're very stiff dudes. You know, they don't want to work on the little things that seem like it's not taking them to Gainesville, you know. And it becomes a detractor. So then you make some progress in the area of, let's say, putting on muscle. But then 15, 20 years down the line, you got a herniated disc. You know what I'm saying? Your C7 is pinching up on a nerve because you didn't take care of your lower lumbar. And you can't bend down to grab the lawnmower. So you got to pay. Well, I'll come do it for you on the weekends. You feel me? Like there's a whole slew of things like that. So on both sides, there's a necessity to kind of really dig deeper into the knowledge that's out there and the information that's out there. There's so much information. And in fact, there's probably a surplus of information, which obviously intimidates most people, but it also creates, you know, this kind of wave or a world of mystery, which people kind of look at as like, oh, this shit is too complicated. I'm not going to deal with it. But when you just break it down to the basic principles of, you know, how you approach other areas of your life that you've succeeded in, then the fitness stuff, the health stuff, that's easy steps. It's baby town frolics, man. So.
Yeah. Yo, one time I went to, I can't remember if it was a Pilates class, but it was a class where I was like the only dude in there. And so I walk in, you know, I'm stretching, I guess, a little bit because my flexibility wasn't really crump at that time. Still not very crump at all. And I'm like, oh, you know, this class, you know, I'll be cool. You know, this is so foo-foo. Bruh, that class was like the hardest class that I've ever done. Yo, I didn't even finish the class, man. I got like 15 minutes in and then was like, all right, I got to leave. Like, I'm sweating way too much, way all too right. much swamp thing going on here. Like, I'm breathing OD heavy. I'm turning red despite the fact that I'm brown. Like, I can't be in here anymore. And that was quite – that was a super eye-opening experience to me.
Yeah, man.
I think the sorest I've ever woken up was like a box fit class that basically had like a Pilates foundation. Like I mean, there was like muscles in between muscles. I wouldn't say peak shape, but I was in pretty decent shape. I was hitting the gym like every day and somebody's like, yo, come to Pilates or whatever, box fit or whatever. I'm like, all right, I'm about to knock this out. They not ready. Bruh, I woke up the next day. I'm talking about like muscles in between, like where I bend my elbow. Then I wasn't even sure there was a muscle there was sore. Like it was messed up the places I was sore. I didn't go back for the record.
Those Pilates, Zumba, yoga classes, which a lot of brothers look at as, oh, that's too soft. I'm not really trying to be in there with the ladies like that. Or, you know, I don't even know what that is. They look like they praying to somebody. Like all those things, you know, you got to kind of put aside your insecurities or your misconceptions about and really embrace it for what it is. Because when you break it down to the base elements, it's for your total body benefit. And so when ego and, you know, pride get involved, that's an ugly, ugly side. I mean, I'm a pretty strong guy myself. I consider myself, you know, a top tier athlete, and bro, I could go into a yoga class tomorrow. And as much as I, you know, focus on yogic moves and my flexibility and whatnot, it's going to be some little dainty girl with a ponytail kicking my ass doing, you know, going through her sun salutations way with much more ease than I would be able to do in, you know, 2 or 3 months. Now, if we flip it and say, let's go into the, at the track, or, you know, let's hit the calisthenics bar. Yeah, I got the advantage on that end, but it's working on the areas that you're deficient in that actually bring better total body wellness, you know. Definitely, so man.
Definitely. I actually have a pinched nerve or had a pinched nerve in my lower back, and that's from like years of not doing things the right way. So focusing, and I think this is what a lot of dudes do. They focus more on so they may do cardio, but then of course they focus on chest, shoulders, and biceps, and completely neglect some of the other smaller muscle groups that actually turn out to be really important. But there are a couple other questions that we wanted to ask you. So one, you know, we're approaching that time of the year where we're getting close to the new year, and this is when people start to really struggle with food. Of course, we got the Thanksgiving, we got Christmas, we got these holiday parties at work. But you get people who start making these resolutions that fall off after a month. And it's funny because people who go to the gym on a regular basis, they always talk about how they hate going to the gym in January because they know that everyone who's made resolutions is suddenly going to be in there, and they wait till February when things go back to normal. So any thoughts on the whole resolution thing?
Yeah, the resolution thing is a nice marketing ploy that's been enacted by our corporate overlords. You know, there's nothing wrong with trying to find a time or a period to set goals into place or set action into place. But when you do it with a mentality that's full of delusion or that's clouded with bad advice or just a haphazard approach, you're gonna fail time and time again. And so if you're looking at Thanksgiving, Christmas time, just be mindful and meaningful of watching what you're intaking from a standpoint of moderation. And that's it. There's no other answer to it. You know, not people going to tell you, okay, count your calorie here, or if you could go get the low fat eggnog and all this other bullshit. There's a whole host of nonsense that people are selling out here. And that's the problem with the fitness industry and health industry as a whole, unfortunately, that it's filled with scammers and people that are just exploiting the ignorance to the masses. But a lot of the answers are just within yourself. If you look at yourself and say, all things in moderation, you know, one of the oldest axioms that's been around with mankind for years, you know, don't not have any eggnog, because what you're actually going to do is put yourself in a anxious and stressed out environment, right? Because if having eggnog is your thing, and then you say, nah, I'm not going to have none because I want to be fit, and you're going to fuck around, be agitated, you're going to wake up the next morning, you're going to be mad, you take it out on your wife, you go to work, you have a bad day, then you're not going to want to go to the gym for the next 3 weeks. You know what I mean? So if you say, all right, you know what, I'm going to have a sip, but then create an accountability system, you know? Enter, you know, a mobile challenge with your friends. I mean, with all the mobile devices that we have now, accessibility is, you know, everywhere. So you should be able to say, okay, send a picture of what you've been eating for Thanksgiving. Send your plate. Send a picture of your plate. Send a picture of your plate. So now it's like, damn, all right, well, I got to show people what I'm grubbing on. Like, I can't, you know, front. And then if you do front, then you just obviously cheating yourself. But little measures which allow you to enjoy yourself, but at the same time, watch or cut back on the things that you know you need to cut back on are key. So moderation and honesty, being honest with yourself. If you know that, yo, it's going to go down Christmas, we're going to probably, you know, be throwing back the yak, might burn a couple spliffs or two. That's going to happen. Don't lie to yourself. You feel me? Don't lie to yourself and tell yourself you're not going to do that. And then, you know, you go and do it and then you feel guilty. Then you're depressed. You know what I mean? That's dishonesty and lack of knowledge of self is where we all stumble and fall with that. So I would say for anybody that's looking to make a resolution, look yourself in the mirror and say, yo, what do I really like? Or what is it about this time of year that's always holding me back? And make some meaningful concessions. Allow yourself to be happy, but also allow yourself to embrace the concept of discipline and focus on attaining those goals. And then you're going to do better. Don't sell yourself short and try to do the Jenny Craig, like right after Thanksgiving and, you know, January 3rd come, you already stressed out, you back. Nah, man, that's it. And I see it all the time. And, you know, most trainers will tell you, like, yeah, January through February, they just scraping money up, man. Because people come in hype. Oh, yeah, I want to do this. New year, new me. I wanted this. I'm going to Cancun. All this other nonsense. Black travel noir. So they come through very animated and very excited. But if their focus on the logistical aspect isn't there, bro, we're playing ourselves, you know. So both me and my clients. So I would, again, urge people who are listening to this, if you have a New Year's plan or resolution, a time period in place in which you're looking to kind of enact change in your health and fitness paradigm, do so with honesty, moderation, and concession to your strengths and your weaknesses.
Yeah, it's so important.
You might have just hit on it, but we normally close out with, and it's kind of our hot seat question. One is key, so I got to repeat it because people try to be cheap, though 10 pieces of advice in there. But one piece of fitness advice that you would advise people, but in this case, maybe that you've heard, you'd share, or, you know, for the paychecks and balances side, a financially sound, inexpensive way of doing it. What's the best one piece of advice you'd share?
I would say for people that are looking to kind of jumpstart their health and fitness journey in a efficient way, just logistics aside, we're not talking money. Some of the stuff that Rich talked about early on, you too, Marcus, as far as home workouts or meaningful daily changes in your routine, which you can build upon to create that stepping stone for the next introductory change. So say, you know, you can't go to the gym. You're not built for that yet. All right. So you're going to take the stairs when you get home for 2 weeks straight. After 2 weeks, your body's going to respond. After that second week, you say, all right, you know what? When I take the train, I'm not sitting on the train. Standing on the platform, standing on the train, we're taking the stairs up. Boom. Now you're 4 weeks in. You've already implemented two levels of meaningful change into your life that you can see the benefit from and not look at as something which is a chore or a logistical hassle, right? Mm. So then you build upon those. Now you say, okay, 100 push-ups in the morning or 100 push-ups throughout the whole day. You stick with it. You build a level of accountability, and you find a way to actually hold yourself accountable, whether it's through a daily log, if you want to outsource it to a trainer or someone like, you know, a fitness coach, or you got a group of friends, you know, someone who can take the onus for all of y'all and be the leader and be like, yo, look, y'all, let's check in every day with what we've done, or every week with a realistic guide of as to where we are. From a financial standpoint, if you can't afford the gym, you can't afford the trainer. If you don't live in Siberia or Alaska, you know, get your ass outside, do some jumping jacks, do some push-ups, find you an awning where they're doing construction or whatever, do some pull-ups, and just run. Get outside, breathe, stretch, you know,
shake,
you know, twerk, go dance. People don't even dance no more, bro. That's the crazy thing. So, you know, you look at it, how things were when we were, you know, in the 80s and the 70s and whatnot, people really wasn't into fitness like that. That was kind of like the Gene Simmons type lane, and people were very, you know, people looked at it like, oh, this is just a fitness fad, or, you know, some freak stuff. People danced, people, you know, outside playing. As a kid, you were always active. So when we kind of go back into our youthful selves, you know, or regain that vibrant or juvenile approach to like our bodies, then yeah, man, things are going to be different. Put the vacuum cleaner away. Take the broom out and sweep. See if you could bend, you know what I mean? See if you could bend down and sweep the ground like your grandma was doing when she was 71. I bet you may not be able to do that. And that's a wake up call, but it's something small and meaningful that you could incorporate into your life on a daily basis.
Yo, it's crazy. You just like, I went through a flashback there. I blacked out, and I realized that this has really come a long way, because the fitness scene did just be Gene Simmons and that Tybo dude. I cannot remember his name.
Billy Banks.
Yeah.
Billy
Banks, that was it. Like, there was nobody else. Like, I'm really looking back. I'm like, yo, who was the fitness king or queens in the like 80s, really even the 90s? And like, that's all I'm coming up with.
You know what I mean? So it's a whole different ballgame now. We have social media. We have, you know, the obvious marketing from sports and fitness companies that are out here that are trying to make people look at themselves as whether, you know, amateur athletes, you know, or the prospects of being pro athletes, the growth and evolution of youth sports. So people are, you know, it's all around us now. And even seniors are starting to, you know, get up out the wheelchair, put down the Dr. Oz and stuff. And they starting to come forward and get out there and have fun and do their Tai Chi in the morning and whatnot. And that's awesome. And it's from a larger standpoint, you know, maybe we could touch on this at another time or whatnot. But there's an elevation of consciousness that's occurring within the global populace, where people are starting to realize that a lot of the things that we associated with, you know, value or happiness or merit have kind of failed us in the long run. And our parents have actually been the forebearers of that and brought in a lot of the experimental weight of that. You know, a lot of them came here or moved from different places, got to certain jobs, lived a certain lifestyle. Now we look at them and we're like, damn, like, my mom's don't look as, you know, vibrant and happy as she did before, or this baby boomer generation, they all, you know, got deficient health problems and debilitating issues. What was it that they were doing, or what was it that they were attaching themselves to, which kind of sucked the life out of them, you know? And we start to look at the materialistic things or the concepts of lavishness or comfortability and whatnot. So then we say, dog, do I really need that extra car with the, you know, loaded features? Or do I need the simple shit? You know, do I need the mac and cheese with the extra bacon on it and all that? Or do I just probably need just the mac? You know what I mean? No cheese. So it's, when we start to peel back those trinkets and bells that have been attached to the way we look at life, especially here in the West, we start to see like, yo, there's a lot of value and happiness when you bring yourself to the things that are free. This is the one question I ask all my clients is, think of if you had to choose a time in your life when you were the most happiest, what year or what age would it be when you had the most fun?
That's real.
And time again, they probably say, you know, when I was 10, or when I was 14, or when I was just in college. And then I asked them, the follow-up is, what was your day-to-day lifestyle then? Then they're like, damn, well, yeah, I was walking to class. I was going to recess. I was outside a lot playing ball. You know, I was just active. I was doing it. So then it's like, damn, it's like, yeah, what the hell happened to me? And you start to look at it and you're like, yo, like I've been shafted. I've been shysted. Like I've played myself. Shout out to Khaled, you know? So it's interesting to kind of see us, not, I wouldn't say revolve, but that's a way to look at it, but kind of reclaim the lifestyle that we were naturally accustomed to at different parts of our lives and in our journeys. So, yeah.
Oh, that's deep, man. And I was just going to, one last thing is, do you have an app or anything that, like, so you mentioned a lot of some of the groups and anything like that. Is there one like go-to that you would recommend that you've seen succeed and, you know, people speak highly of, or do you say, you know, old school it, pen, paper, meet up outside, see you at the park?
Right, right. I mean, this Fitbit and Fitocracy, those are apps that are very useful in tracking your progress on a day-to-day basis as far as, you know, biometric data. But a lot of the stuff out there is filled and seeded with just convoluted information and just nonsensical crap that they're trying to sell you as a consumer. Mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger, arguably the most popular, famous bodybuilder of all time, didn't have a Fitbit. He wasn't loaded up on, you know what I mean, a bunch of different subs. Like, now he did take steroids, to be fair. However, people who are taking steroids now still don't have the classical physique shape and mass that people like Arnold, Frank Zane had back in those days. And that's because we're attaching too much importance to the quick fixes. So things like a Fitbit, I would say, you know, if it helps you, if that's something that you need to, you know, monitor yourself on an accountability level, hop on it. But I would personally say the key of the pudding doesn't lie in those trinkets and bells. It's more so as far as the mental, how are you going to change your mindset so that these things become ingrained in you, you know?
Yeah, man. I'd say for myself, my Fitness Pal, that app has been super helpful for me tracking.
Right.
It's a lot of work having to log everything, but when I really want to hone in on, you know, weight loss and stuff like that, it's super helpful. And then of course, you know, I do have a Fitbit, which, you know, which being able to have that data sync with the data from my Fitness Pal, I don't know. I find that for myself, I try to automate where possible. You know, when things get too manual, that's where I really start to fall off, even though it does kind of force you to actually write down. So like, and it's funny because we talked earlier about being irritated, trying to stick to a habit. I thought of this day where I was at work pissed off because I couldn't eat a cookie. And it was like a day that someone brought in like a bunch of cookies. And I'm like, you know, I'm looking at my Fitness Pal. I'm like, man, that freaking cookie is like 400 calories and, you know, all of that. But sometimes those apps can help you kind of see like, all right, you know, maybe I shouldn't make that decision because that means 20 more minutes that I have to run because I want to eat this damn cookie, you know. So there's some value. But, yes, there's also a lot of ads and other things that are out there, too.
Right, right. Yeah, and this it's all a tool as to how you use it. If you can, you know, use it to your benefit, then go for it. You know, there's nothing that's – technology is here for our benefit. It's a tool. So things like Fitbit, Fitocracy, I would definitely recommend as viable tools that you can leverage that force you to kind of make sure that you're on the right track. So, yeah.
Cool, man. So, Kof, it's been awesome having you on the show. So – I knew it would be fun. It turned out to be even way more fun than I expected, just from, of course, me knowing you in real life. I mean, like, there was one point I wasn't talking because I was crying, wiping tears off my face, basically, from the laughter. But before we close out, tell people where they can find you again.
Absolutely, man. Again, I want to thank you for having me on the show. It was a great opportunity to kind of reconnect with you on this front. And Marcus, awesome meeting you as well. People can find me and my conglomerate, our group. Again, SOTBG is the name of the brand and company. You can go to www.sotbglife.com. You can find us on Instagram at SOTBGLife. And there are the main social media outlets that are available to people in order to connect with us. You can also email info@sotbglife.com to get direct access to us in order to, you know, start your journey, inquire about our services, and get a better understanding of, you know, what changes and suggestions we have that can work for you. So,
definitely, and we'll definitely get that in the show notes, folks. So don't panic, as always.
Yeah, you know, awesome. I gotta say, of all of the fitness conversations that I've listened to on other podcasts, like, this is probably the most fun type of conversation that I've heard. And I don't say that because I'm part of it. I mean, I've pretty much just asked some questions here and there. But if you're listening to this and you're like, yo, this man brings an approach that I haven't really heard before, and you had fun, definitely visit the website. Definitely reach out. The plan that he wrote for me is thorough. He actually helped me reprioritize a couple of items within that through this conversation today. So definitely check that out. And of course, thanks so much for listening. If you have topics you'd like to hear us cover or thoughts on this episode, you can email us at info@paychecksandbalances.com. And if you're serious about getting your health in order, once again, hit up the man Kof. The SOTBG movement is real.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And don't forget to join our email list. We'll share top articles we read throughout the week on work, money, and this week fitness tips and more. You can sign up by visiting paychecksandbalances.com/email.
There it is. So again, we want to thank everybody for listening. Really hope you enjoyed this episode. Until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.